Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary as we continue our studies in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ. The last time we were together, we began lesson number one entitled The Prophecies and Life of Christ. We want to pick up where we left off last time, as we're on tape number one, side number two. We began to look at some things about the life of Christ. The second stage of Jesus' ministry covered a period of approximately 6 to 8 months in Capernaum and Galilee. He performed miracles, healed the sick, and preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The third stage was the later Galilean ministry, lasting about a year in and about Galilee. Great crowds followed him. He preached the Sermon on the Mount, which we read about in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In the next stage, the Pharisees hound him to seek his life. Jesus travels to Capernaum, Phoenicia, Bethsaida, Caesarea, Philippi, and finally re-enters Galilee. The last 6 months were spent teaching, preaching, and traveling. And of course, the last week, Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, the trials and death by the cross. And then we see 3 days later, according to the prophecy, Jesus rose again from the dead. And of course, 40 days after the resurrection, he ascended visibly and bodily into heaven. And we see that in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 1. Of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and we see in Acts chapter number 1, in verses 10 and 11, we read, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And of course, the angels told him that he would, as he went up visibly, he would return visibly. Amen. Let's look a little bit now as we continue in lesson number one. Like I said, we began that last time. We're continuing the prophecies and life of Christ. Let's look now at the miracles of Jesus. And of course, we'll have a lesson that'll cover some of these more in depth later on in our studies. Now, a miracle is a setting aside of a lower law by a higher law. Lower law is a natural physical law of earth and nature. And only God can do things contrary to this law. If Jesus truly performed miracles, then he is God, for man cannot perform true miracles. The Lord Jesus performed miracles not to show off or entertain, but to prove his deity and cause men to believe in him and his message in his person. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 2, for a moment. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 2, in verse, we want to look at verse 11, John 2:11. We read this in the Word of God, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So we see that the miracles that he performed were not to show off or entertain, but to prove, amen, his deity, to cause men to believe him, as we see that the disciples did here, believe him and his message and who he was. Now look in the Gospel of John, chapter number 20 with me, John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, look at with me in verse number 31. We read this in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in that believing ye might have life through his name. So here we have recorded the reason that these things were written in the Gospel of John was that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, Jesus performed credible miracles over nature. We see that he stilled the tempest, calmed the wind and water, and even walked on the water. Let's look for a moment in Matthew chapter 8 with me. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 8. In Matthew chapter 8, let's look at verses 26 and 27 with me. And of course, here we have the account of the time that Jesus was on the ship with the disciples asleep, and a great tempest arose. And they went down and they asked the Lord to save them. They were afraid that they were perish. And he said to them in Matthew 8, verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. And what they didn't realize at the time was that the Creator himself of the universe was in the boat with them. That's why he could command the tempest, the winds to, and the sea to become calm. Because he created these things. Amen. Let's look also in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 in verse number 25. We see that it says this, another time they were out in the boat, and the winds were contrary, amen, and they were being tossed about, and it says in Matthew 14, verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So we see that he performed miracles over nature. Also, Jesus performed miracles over devils. Look with us, with me in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, in verses 28 to 32. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of the swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished into the waters. So we see that he performed miracles over devils. He cast out devils from human beings. Amen. Also, we see that Jesus performed miracles over disease. He cleansed the leper, healed the lame, opened the eyes of the blind, caused the dumb to hear and fevers to depart. Look in Matthew chapter 8, for example. Matthew chapter number 8, in verse number 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then also in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, look with me, if you would, in verses 10 through 13. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall be there among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. We also see in the gospel accounts that Jesus performed miracles over death. He raised the dead, contrary to all human law that says a dead person must stay dead. Look, for example, in the Gospel of John with me. The Gospel of John in chapter number 11. And, of course, the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, we see the raising of Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother. In John chapter 11, verse 44, we see, beginning in verse 43, John 11, And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Look also in Matthew chapter number 9 with me. Matthew chapter number 9. In Matthew chapter number 9, we want to look at verses 23 through 25, Matthew 9, 23 through 25. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. So here we see the Lord also raising from the dead a young maid. Then also we want to look at in Luke, the Gospel of Luke with me, please, chapter number 7. Luke 7, we want to look at verses 12 through 15. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the brier. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. So we see there that Jesus performed miracles over death, amen, as we see in the gospel accounts, the raising of individuals from the dead. Our Lord's miracles were restrained and are completely believable. His miracles were performed openly in the presence of many witnesses and recorded by divine inspiration for all of us to read and believe. Amen. Now we want to look at some concluding remarks on our first lesson here on the doctrine of Christ, entitled The Prophecies and Life of Christ. Now, the life of Jesus Christ on earth can be summarized in the words of Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And we read in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen? And that's true today. All of those that are not saved are oppressed of the devil. And my dear friend, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can lift that oppression, amen, to those who are being oppressed by the devil. I praise the Lord for the day that I came and bowed my knee and asked Jesus Christ to save me. I no longer am under the oppression of the devil, amen, but claim Jesus as my Savior and heaven as my home. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ left us an example that we should follow. Amen. In everything. Look in 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read this in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Yes, if all we would do is but follow him, amen. He's left us an example that we should follow in every area and every aspect of our lives. You know, we are to walk as he walked. We see this in the first general epistle of John in chapter 2, verse 6. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Christ came to do God's will, and we should too, amen. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter number 8, in verse number 29. John 8, verse 29. Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Amen. He came to do his Father's will, and we should do likewise. Amen. Then we read in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter number 10, in verse number 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Well, that concludes lesson number 1 on the prophecy and life of Christ. Now we want to begin a brand new lesson in our series of lessons on the study on the doctrine of Christ. And lesson number 2 is entitled, The Virgin Birth of Christ. The Virgin Birth of Christ. And as you look at your course outline, you'll see that our lesson number two on the virgin birth of Christ is broken down into nine areas. First, we have an introduction, which is point A. Point B is the virgin birth foretold in the Old Testament. Point number C, we have the historic fulfillment of this prophecy. Point D, the virgin birth is taught in Scripture. Point E, the purpose of the virgin birth. Point F, the importance of the doctrine of the virgin birth. Point G, the significance of the virgin birth. Point H, objections to this doctrine. And then finally, point I will conclude our lesson on the virgin birth. So let's begin lesson number two, the virgin birth, with a bit of an introduction, amen? Now, in the last lesson, we learned that Jesus Christ was deity, that he is indeed the Son of God. In the Christmas story, we learn that Jesus Christ became man, and he took upon himself the form and likeness of man. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 in the Word of God. Philippians chapter number 2 with me. In Philippians chapter number 2, I want us to look at verses 5 through 8. In Philippians chapter 2, I want us to look at verses 5 through 8. And the Bible says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We believe that since Adam sinned, all born thereafter inherit a sin nature from their parents. How then was Jesus born without a sin nature? Amen. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51:5 about man, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In Psalm 58, verse 3, the psalmist writes, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies." If Christ inherited a sin nature, then he was a sinner and died for his own sins. Even though Christ lived a sinless life, he would be unable to save one soul. If Christ was born without a sin nature, how was this accomplished? God the Father solved this difficult problem by what is called the virgin birth. The mystery of the virgin birth is to be believed, adored, and accepted by Christians. The only logical answer to the dilemma is that the sin nature passed from the father to the child, and not from the mother to the child. You see, Jesus did not have a human father. For the Holy Ghost, yes, my dear friend, the Holy Ghost was his father. Mary was the mother, but did not pass on a sin nature to the baby Jesus. Oh, how wonderful of our God to solve this difficult problem so that we might have a Savior who could truly redeem us from sin on the cross of Calvary. Now we want to look at the virgin birth foretold in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, which we saw in our last lesson, was the first promise of the Redeemer given to man after his fall into sin. And then we see in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3, God calls Abraham to be the father of the chosen nation of Israel. And then we see in Genesis chapter 49 verse 10 that this blessing was to be given, the Redeemer being born, the blessing was to be given through the tribe of Judah. Look with me in Genesis chapter 49, that the Redeemer would come from the tribe, from one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49. In verse 10, the scepter, represents rulership, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, that's the Messiah, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In 2 Samuel, in chapter 7, and let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7. In 2 Samuel chapter number 7, let's look at verses 2 Samuel 7, verses 8 through 16. 2 Samuel 7, verses 8 through 16, we see that the Savior to be born of the family of David, he's to be a son of David. Let's read down. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, and from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I command judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will sit up, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I shall establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And here it is, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and their throne, and thy throne shall be established forever. And of course, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that his kingdom, that his throne would be established forever. And that's right, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, the actual prophecy of the virgin birth. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7 with me. Isaiah chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 7, we have the prophecy of the virgin birth in verse number 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And of course, we see the fulfillment of this in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 1, in verse 23. And we read, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And of course, we see as we pick up the context in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 1, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophecy that Jesus, the human one, was to be born, but Jesus, the divine God, was to be given, for Jesus as God was eternal and could not be born. Look in Isaiah, as we see this prophecy spoken of, in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Next, as we're looking at lesson number 2 right now, the virgin birth of Christ, we want to look at point number C, the historic fulfillment of this prophecy. We want to see first in Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18 through 25, records the story, as does Luke chapter 2, verse 47. Let's look at first at Matthew chapter 1. And of course, we've read some of those verses already in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we want to pick up in verse 18 and read down through 25 together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And we see, very important, it was a virgin birth because Joseph did not know his wife, didn't go into her, cleave to her, until after Jesus was born, her firstborn. Then we also see the story of the virgin birth recorded in Luke chapter 2. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 in verses 4 through 7. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary was engaged to Joseph, but they were not married yet. Christ was born of a virgin, but a betrothed virgin, so that she could be married to protect her good name. Mary's conception was definitely from the Holy Ghost and not from her fiancé Joseph or any other man whatsoever. God guarantees us to give us a perfect Savior. The Lord encouraged Joseph to marry Mary, to be a companion and guide to her in order to protect her from the extremity of the law. Looking in Leviticus chapter 20 with me, Leviticus chapter number 20. In Leviticus chapter number 20, we want to look at verse number 10. It says, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." And of course, that's what under the law, Mary and Joseph lived under the Old Testament law, and that was the penalty for the one that committed adultery, and both parties were to be put to death. Amen. So he married her to protect her, even though it was a virgin. The father was the Holy Ghost. You know, people wouldn't believe that. So he married to protect her. Amen. Joseph was a godly man. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25 that we just read, it tells us that through Joseph and Mary were married, they never lived together as husband and wife until after the birth of the Savior. And we just saw that. But let's look at it again. It's a very important point to see that. Matthew 1 tells us that though Joseph and Mary were married, they never lived together as husband and wife until after the birth of the Savior. And we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So he did not know her. He did not have a physical relationship, did not cleave to Mary until after Jesus was born. See, God takes special care to insert this verse with this intimate detail to show us that the unborn child could not possibly be contaminated by a human father. Now, as we continue our lesson number 2, the virgin birth of Christ, we want to look at the point D. The virgin birth is taught in Scripture. You know, some try to maintain that Paul did not teach the virgin birth of Christ. It is true that Paul does not use the exact expression, but Paul knew the risen Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, we read these words. "And last of all," Paul writes, "and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." So it's true that Paul does not use the exact expression, the virgin birth, but Paul knew the risen Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, as we just saw, and recognized him as the one fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which we just read a moment ago. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Paul's writing in Colossians chapter 1, in verses 15 through 17, gives a picture of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn there. Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians chapter number 1, in verses 15 through 17. We read this in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Talking about in the context, Paul is talking about, writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. So Paul writes that he was the image, amen, the image of the invisible God. For God the Father to be able to relate to man, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He came in a human body, amen. Even though he didn't sin, he became in the flesh so he could relate to you and I, so he could experience the things that you and I experience, and the trials and the temptations, amen. Isaiah prophesied of the Savior's birth 740 years before it actually happened. Matthew explicitly states that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin. Look again in Matthew chapter 1 with me. Matthew chapter number 1. In Matthew chapter number 1, we want to look at, first of all, in Matthew 1, we want to look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, very important, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Luke, a medical doctor, would be most interested in this medical phenomenon. Every child must have a father. Who was the father of the baby Jesus? If the father were human, then he had a sin nature, and we were yet in our sins. Luke carefully explains the unusual conception in Luke chapter 1. Let's turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and look at some verses there. Luke chapter 1. First, in Luke chapter 1, we want to look at verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So he's careful to tell us that Mary was a virgin. In verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35, and the angel answered, and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, Mary asks the sensible question of the angel, How can I have a child when I'm not married? And inferred that she was a pure virgin abhorring immorality. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel carefully explained that the Holy Ghost would be the Father. Well, we're going to stop lesson number 2, entitled The Virgin Birth, right there. But when we return and we pick up again, we'll continue lesson number 2, entitled The Virgin Birth, and we'll look at the next section of this lesson, entitled The Purpose of the Virgin Birth. So this concludes tape number 1, side number 2.